Welcome back to the A1 Content Podcast. My name is John, and today we're answering questions you have about Google PPC. Let's go. Welcome back to the A1 Content Podcast. Thank you again for joining me this week. Before we get started, I just want to say thank you for everyone that has subscribed. Our show is growing a little bit each week, and that's pretty awesome to see. If you are new here and haven't subscribed yet, you can expect to hear quite a bit about SEO and digital marketing for small businesses especially. I do consult with them in the local area, and I try to teach other people and other small businesses what they can learn with digital marketing and how to build a successful strategy around all those things. So with that being said, let's get into this week's episode. Talking about Google PPC or cost per click or pay per click or however you want to reference it can be kind of scary for some small businesses because they know that that means they're going to be spending money. Now, I already have a bunch of questions I get asked all the time, specific ones. Sometimes they're not even related to actual pay-per-click. But today we're just going to go over, like, say, four or five of the main ones, and maybe I can provide some answers for these and to just to help set the minds of a small business owner at ease so that they know that, you know, they're being cared for as a client when they reach out to a Google partner to help them with Google Ads specifically. So with that said, let's get started here. The first question I get quite a bit is, what should our budget be? Well, if you're asking me what your budget should be, it should be anything that you can willingly throw away, assuming there will be nothing coming back initially, right? So it's a topic that comes up. It's more relevant, obviously. You want to make sure that you're getting something back for the money that you put out there on Google Ads. But Google does provide some tools as well. So there's a keyword research tool that you can use. It's built right into Google Ads. I use it often. And it can kind of give you an idea, or give me an idea, what your type of keywords your small business would rank for or show for. And then, of course, it can give you specific costs. It gives you the how many clicks you might get, estimated impressions, the cost of those impressions, so, and even the average cost per click. So when someone asks me what my budget should be, I can figure out what they're going to be targeting based on their business. So I provide them that information. I punch it in the keyword planner, and I'm able to at least give them an estimate. In most cases, if they're a brand new Google Ads customer, they haven't used it before, I ask if they can spend $1,000 in the first month or two to see if we can get some really good data going, because they're going to need that to, you know, build the age of the Google account. If they're already in a Google account and then I'm kind of just adjusting what's already there, maybe optimizing what is there, the cost would be a little bit less probably, because I'm working with something that's already there. Google already knows their account. There's some things baked in already, so the cost might not necessarily be a full $1,000. It could be even more if that's what you have. I mean, $10,000 a month clients aren't unheard of, especially in a competitive local market. But I've also worked with clients that go down as low as $300 a month. Depending on the market, depending on your niche, what services you're providing, and how many people you can, you know, schedule. There's a lot of factors that go into what your budget could be. And what makes sense. I mean, you want to spend all the budget, you want to get the most coming back. So that's just a question that I get quite a bit. Those are the types of things that kind of walk the client through when they do ask that question. The next question I get pretty often from Google PPC clients, whether they're new or not, is, what should my targeting be? Now, I know a lot about Google Ads. I know how to get traffic to where it needs to go based on specific things. However, the client knows their business the best compared to me. So I usually just turn that question right back around and say, you know the business, you know the people that walk in the door every single day or call, you tell me who they are. How old are they? Where do they live? You know, what kind of jobs do they have? Do they work on weekends? Do they primarily call you on the weekends? Is this a late in the day thing? All these types of things can build out the audience pretty easily if you just check the boxes as you go down the list. So it's kind of a, you know, a bad answer because I'm not giving them exactly what they're asking for, but I can say I will target whoever I can because Google allows that to happen in most industries. But if you can't tell me four or five different things about your main customer base, that's going to be a little difficult to target in that respect. Then we go back to the budget thing and we're thinking about spending more than we need to just to get the data that you may already have, whether it's talking to clients or your customers or talking to other people in your business and your employees to find out exactly who we should be targeting and where they are. So we just talked a little bit about the budget you might have for Google Ads and then who you're targeting. And those two kind of work together. They're usually the basic of getting a Google Ads account started or an additional campaigns running. The third question I get asked quite a bit are, should we focus on our current customers or should we focus on growing our customer base? Now, this depends quite a bit on what market you're in. If you're a plumber, you want all the business you can get. There's not likely to be a lot of return customers, at least in the short term. Maybe in the long term, months later, if something else happens and they had a good experience, they may contact you again for a similar service or a service addition to what they ordered the first time. But in reality, there's really no right or wrong answer. But I usually ask, what kind of repeat business do you have? Do you retain customers just automatically? Does your business just provide that for you? Small businesses like hair salons or spas generally retain the same customer base month to month, quarter to quarter even. Landscapers, sometimes they get you signed up for 6 months or a year services or seasonal services. So a lot of times your customers are coming back because in the beginning they have no choice and that's how you sign them up. But for a law firm, you might only see your customer one time in their life. So how do you get that customer back? Do you spend money on working on that part of it? Or do you spend more money on growing your customer base because you need new customers all the time? And if that retention rate is a lot lower for, say, law firms, for example, building that base bigger and bigger is only going to help you by percentages to keep those, the very small amount of customers that do come back coming back. So there's a lot of information that we can find. We want to make sure the customer relationship is strong. Do you have good customer service? Was it difficult for the customer to get what they needed? Are you ignoring customer complaints? All those types of things lead to customers either not coming back or you're churning out customers that you have in your customer base with new ones. So there's quite a bit of information to go through, and we're talking about basically prospecting. But ideally, most small businesses that I work with, they just want people in the door. New or otherwise. So in the beginning, it's about reaching both. After the ads have been running for a while, the account is growing, it's a little easier to say, okay, now we'd like to move into, say this demographic or this county, or we notice that there's a lot of customers coming from this area that we don't specifically service, but we may start servicing it soon. And all those things play into whether or not you want to move out or expand your services. So you can expand your customer base in that way. So again, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but the question does come in and I feel like I'm pretty confident with how I can answer that based on experience with Google Ads and just how businesses work, especially in like a localized area. Moving on to the next question, number four, should we expand into new geographic markets? Now this goes perfectly with what I just brought up. There's a companies that I work with that are like, well, we only service people in the county that we are in. Well, what if a customer just lives right outside that county? It might only be another 5 minutes for them to get to your business. Are you just going to completely tell them, no, we can't come to your business? Do the costs go up that high for your business that you can't take in one customer that's an extra 5 minutes away? Obviously, looking at demand makes a big difference. And a lot of times with Google Ads, when you do the expansion, you can see where the clicks are coming from. You can see where your ads are being shown geographically. Google Business Profile also shows you a really good geographic information, even based on how many people from what area you're asking for directions, so they know where your business is. Maybe they never heard of it. They didn't realize it was that close, that kind of thing. So there's a lot of information you can grab from Google Ads, your analytics, and Google Business Profiles to decide whether or not you should expand into new geographic markets, especially as a small business. I say, if you can comfortably maintain your customer base where it is, but you can't expand because you have, you know, good employees, a good process, it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg to move into another zip code or, you know, another 40-mile radius away from your business, why not give it a try? The best thing about Google Ads is you can just turn it on. And if you want to move into a different zip code or county or even a different state, you can gather the data for 30 to 45 days, and then you can make a decision at that point. Now, of course, the money's going to be going out the door, not necessarily coming back, but hopefully we've gathered enough data before that that we can make the decision that maybe $1,000 in a different market is going to be better for you than just tossing $1,000 out the window and you know, hoping. So, I mean, we talked quite a bit. These three to four things that I just mentioned, they do come with a lot of considerations. You have to have the right demographics. You have to have the right information, whether that be from analytics or Google Ads that are already running or information about your business that you give to me, whether it's your customer database or your CRM or just you just know who you deal with on a daily basis. And, you know, that plays a big part in it. But all that information playing together, you can make a solid campaign, one that's cost effective and then brings in the phone calls and the people walking through your door. So it's a really fun thing to watch. I've seen very successful campaigns. I've also seen some that fall on their face right away. But Google Ads can be turned on, turned off hour by hour. So you don't always have to think like, okay, I got a $1,000 budget here. I'm going to blow that whole $1,000 if something doesn't go right. That's not the case, because I optimize as often as possible, especially with a new campaign. We're going to see those mistakes right off the bat, and then we can make corrections and hopefully not waste too much of that $1,000 budget to bring in the best possible customer for the lowest possible cost. So the last question I get asked quite a bit is, you know, should we have a holiday sale this year? Or, you know, should we run some sort of promotion to see if we can drum up some more business? And a lot of times holiday sales are, you know, used to, you know, just drive revenue, whether that might be at the end of the month, the quarter, right around a holiday, or even at the end of the year. You maybe just want to, you know, you have no problem spending a few bucks to see if you can get some more business. But for me, holiday sales are kind of, you know, a last ditch effort. They're not really effective. And typically, you're not going to be getting a like, really good return on your ad spend, especially during a holiday when everybody's spending money on Google Ads to get some sort of customer. Now, acquiring new customers at a super low cost is maybe an expectation, so you can bring those customers back later, say you have a good follow-up. But that shouldn't be an absolute expectation, because a lot of times you're just talking about getting an ad out there that might even just be as effective as a billboard. You're just assuming people saw it, and if extra people walked in the door that week, you just assumed it was the billboard. So when I get asked the question, I always ask what the main goal is of having that sale to begin with. I mean, are we just talking about getting, you know, services out the door, new customers? Do we have products we just want to dump real quick? But if you can come up with like some sort of estimate on how that performance might affect the goal, what the end result is, it's going to be a lot easier. So if they just look and go, oh, we just want, you know, more people to come to our website. Well, okay, that's easy. We just turn the traffic on and it goes there. If they have expectations of meeting a certain goal of revenue, that's a little bit different. And the cost is going to be higher, especially if you're working around the holidays or even at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. Any of those really peak times for people searching around on the internet or maybe getting a service done. Like, you take a look at a landscaping company, and if you're talking about spring cleanup or spring, you know, fertilizing or anything like that, like a four-step process, if you're doing that in March or February or April, you're probably going to be spending quite a bit of money with huge competitors that I have no problem driving 500 miles to a client's house to do the process, even though you're only, you know, 15 minutes away. So you're battling against a lot of things for a holiday sale, but if you do have a solid goal in mind and expectation, we can figure something out. And it's definitely not off the table. It's just something I don't recommend unless you have, you know, like I said, those things lined up, a good budget for an expectation and a goal that makes sense for your business, especially, and not only for your business, for the customer. definitely doing what we can for the customer, either whether it's a customer that you have already or a customer that you're trying to gain for your business. So it goes both ways, obviously. So that is just how I kind of approach that answer to the holiday sale promotion / giveaway type question. So I think that's where I'm going to end the episode right now. We talked about real specific questions that come from Google pay-per-click clients that I have. The first one being, you know, what should my budget be? Who should I target? Should I expand into a new market? Should I work on my current customer base or try to expand my customer base to some people new to my business? And then, of course, should I run a holiday promotion? All of those answers, they work a lot with different niches, industries, all different types of small businesses. But for the most part, my answers are the same. And we just have to do some digging. We work together. The Google Ads then work just much better. If you just dump a bunch of information on my desk and tell me to just do, here's the budget. I can also work that way as well. There's just a lot more figuring that I have to do. And I have a pretty good process down, so the process doesn't take long. But I would prefer to kind of pick your brain as a small business owner also to see what works best, and we get the ads running efficiently. Efficient ads are the ones that cost the least to run. So that's going to be it. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you guys are around next week. See ya. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope you found the information useful for your small business marketing strategy. Please consider subscribing to get new content as I publish it, usually about once, maybe twice per week. I'd also love to continue this conversation over on Twitter, where you can find me at A1Content. Otherwise, you can visit my website for more actionable digital marketing methods for your small business, especially in your local area. You don't need to leave a review, even though that's awesome. However, I would ask that if you know a small business owner and feel they might benefit from what I shared with you today, share the podcast with them. Word of mouth advertising is the greatest way to spread the love with all the podcasts out there today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.